Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Is Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right, a very pleasant good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. With you for the next hour, a lot of things to discuss, a lot of things to rehash, a lot of the autopsy on Saturday's game against SMU, a 26-20 loss for the Miami Hurricanes. This Saturday, Canes take on Syracuse. We'll be on the air at 11:30 a.m. for a 3:30 kickoff against the Cuse, who has lost five straight games. Trevor Harris is our producer. Coming up, we'll hear from Mario Cristobal. He'll look back at SMU. Kind of dive into all the topics everybody's talking about, and then look ahead to Syracuse. We'll also hear from Shannon Dawson, and you'll hear all of his explanations of everything that everyone's talking about. And then we'll hear from Corey Heatherman. And last night, University of Miami basketball got off to a 1-0 start. Jay Lucas, his debut, and we'll hear some comments from Coach Lucas as well. All of that coming up on the show here tonight. So let's begin with head coach Mario Cristobal.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes are home 3:30 against the Syracuse Orange at Hard Rock Stadium. Hope to see you there for the 25th meeting between Miami and Syracuse in a series. The Hurricanes lead overall 16-8. Canes coming off a tough day in Dallas against SMU. Coach had a couple of days to do the autopsy on it. What are some of the things that jump out to you about the game?
Certainly the details of the game. The margins in a conference play are so small, and that's where we gave up plays that you really can't in a game like this. So certainly everything that we do is always assessed in a win or a loss and then attacked and tweaked and adjusted in a manner that gives us the best chance to go forward.
Coach, penalties have been the conversation for the last few weeks. Last against Stanford, you got them under control, had problems again this week. Please let everybody know that it is addressed every day, and it's addressed at practice, it's addressed at a meeting room, and punishment in some sort or another or conversation is always implemented.
Yeah, you know, we've had very good processes here over time and really start off the season really doing well in most of those departments. And then when it started going south a little bit, we felt that we had some progress again during the Stanford game. And then we regressed again this week. So certainly it's something that every single day, everything is always tweaked, assessed, adjusted. And we'll do so again to get a better result. And we will get a better result. But it's never, you're adaptable. We're adaptable, you know. And we certainly, whatever we do is always to find the best result and the best outcome for the team, for the program. And certainly it's just not good enough. It's not good enough, but it is being 100% addressed daily.
Coach, was there one thing or a variety of things in this game in this game, in this particular game against SMU, that created really the false start penalties and some of the issues you had offensively?
Well, we just got to hang in there. I mean, we got to do a better job with our cadence and handling noise and stems. You know, you cannot, you know, football is, you know, it goes all over the place if you let it. And it's easy to point a finger and blame. We got to take it and we got to put the responsibility and accountability on ourselves. But we didn't finish drives. And what's causing us to not finish drives is a combination of penalties, drops, right, and details. And that's on all of us. You know, when we say penalties, it's not on just one coach. When we say drops, it's not just on the receivers. That's a coaching, that's a practice, that's a must get it better type of thing. That's the only way we approach everything. So, but those are tangibly the things that prevented us from going ahead and turning threes into sevens, right? And we had been really good in the red zone up until this game in terms of scoring touchdowns. We were, I think, 1 of 4. With a couple of field goals in terms of scoring touchdowns this past week.
Coach, I'll get to Carson Beck in a moment, but as far as quarterback protection, I believe since Florida State, including Florida State, the offensive line has not given up a sack in 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks it is. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of work, and that's a rare occurrence to be able to go that long without giving up a sack.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the best in the country at providing a clean pocket, and that's everybody. That's the quarterback. That's the offensive line. That's a running back. That's a tight ends. That's what we do schematically. And, you know, it's not the snap the whistle part. You know, there's some really high level execution, some really strong and bright moments there. It's the pre-snap stuff. You know, that's the part that has to be cleaned up because, you know, the more you have of those, you find yourself making plays, but you're just getting back the yardage you gave up to begin with. So that's been a huge focal point. And I know we're going to get a better result going forward.
As you go through this game, it's pretty clear who the more talented team is, and the numbers are reflecting it, right? Third downs, you're like at 50%. I think they were under 25% trying to convert on third down. You run the ball for more yards. They're running the ball for negative yardage for most of the game. Is it, you're one play away from several times from winning the game. Is it, how frustrating was it for you to try to just keep pushing to get to that final play to put this thing to bed?
Well, the first thing I'll say, it's not about more talented teams. They have just as much talent as anybody else, as much as we do. So I wouldn't say that. But I would say that the margins that we gave up, that we gave away, certainly hurt us. And they made plays too. I respect football too much just to say that the other team didn't show up. That's not true. They have a good football team. They did a lot of good things. But there were several margins and opportunities where we hurt ourselves and took points off the board, prevented points from getting on the board that are, they're frustrating. You know why? Because they're all fixable and it's all us. It's all us, you know, which is different than being helpless where, man, we don't have a guy that could run this or a way to protect that. It's not that. That was a frustrating part. And credit to our players and their level of care, the amount of pain felt in that locker room, and their approach to come in today and to approach it like a true professional and really, really intentionally try to get better.
Coach, you recruit to it, you practice with it, and it's all about creating depth. And you go into the ball game last week, no Daniels, no Frederick, no Moten. But that this time of year, that happens, and it's so important to continue to build depth from week one till now.
It is. You know, towards the end of the Stanford game, we got hit with some things that we didn't know. We didn't know if they were going to be serious enough to hold the guy out or not. But medically, our medical team was very optimistic that they were going to be able to go. But come game time, we're down 3 and then a 4 starter. And because of the way that we rep and practice, we feel strongly that if someone has to go in there, there might be a talent or an experience drop off initially. But in time, we're going to be able to recoup and get some real productive play out of those positions. And credit to the guys that stepped in there. They were counted upon. They did some good things, some other areas to improve upon, but they didn't hurt us.
Coach, take us through the RPO, the run-pass option, because so many times the quarterback has the option to obviously to hand the football off. That could have been a rushing down and rushing yardage, or he can pull it and throw it, or he can keep it. What goes through those decisions?
Well, it's a lot. I mean, it depends if it's a horizontal stretch or a vertical stretch. Sometimes you marry up the wider run game with the down the field throws because your linemen don't have a chance to get up the field as much, and it makes it a legal play. And then, you know, some of your horizontal stuff is more tied into, you know, guys in direct runs, right? Getting the ball downhill and whatnot, and your insert runs. And we make it real simple, or as simple as it can be, for the quarterback, with giving him exactly who he's reading, what he is reading, and what to make the decision off of, as well as sometimes just having the flat-out awareness of numbers and leverage. You know, sometimes in football, it's not always exactly like you draw it up on the board or like you practice it. And you don't want to make your players robots, right? Sometimes there's an access throw where a guy's uncovered or the coverage is so soft and backed up that no matter what, you want to put the ball in the hands of a receiver. Sometimes they overplay a play, and even though the read doesn't dictate such, you might want to spit the ball out there or hand it off due to an error that you see on defense. And then also you have what you call your troubles, meaning that if a certain pressure, if a certain look is coming that you really don't have the run protected, meaning enough hats to get on, enough defensive hats, that you have a way to put the ball in play in a manner that doesn't provide you with a negative play.
You talked about this a couple times today, so you're probably getting worn out on it, but put the game into overtime, and we've talked before on the practice field and such about the need to score. There are times where there's a need to score or a want to score. You're at the 25 with only 25 seconds to go. Carter Davis's longest field goal is 53, which means you got to get at least down to their, 40-yard line, right, if I'm doing the math right?
With
only
35,
right, 35-yard line with only 25 seconds left. And the metrics are not in your favor.
Right. Well, it's a little bit of everything right there. You know, for us, the people that we have worked for, there was always that rule. If you are in your at your 25 or further back and you're under 30 seconds, buyer beware, because more times than not, bad things happen. A great example is the Orange Bowl last year, Penn State, Notre Dame, right? So there's a train of thought there. You have one timeout, and you either want to use that to freeze a kicker, right? Or you want to save it to see if you could pop a return. And if you pop a return, okay, now you have a timeout, now you have a couple plays, and now you have a chance to get it in field goal range. We felt, you know, after we analyzed it, that we had a chance to return because 45% of their kickers' kickoffs were returnable. That's a good number in college football. That's a really good number. And we felt really good about the plan. We had to return it. Once we didn't get that and it was a touchback, then it's okay, let's go play in overtime and not put ourselves in a risky situation.
By the way, you have a guy on your staff on the defensive line who thrived in those situations on the other side, who would wreck an offense at the end of a half or game, and Jason Taylor went to the Hall of Fame when getting strip sacks at the end of the half or game.
Yeah, you know, everything, every decision is based on just some real deep dive and analytical work. And that was a process we felt very strongly about.
Coach Alex Bauman, tight end, you brought him in this year from Tulane, and he did a fantastic job blocking and made some catches as well, but just put his nose in it when it came to the running game every snap.
Yeah, he did, and he had a lot of success. A lot of credit to Alex. You know, he tough guy, talented guy, got himself a touchdown as well. Just getting a lot of really good play from him, and we feel that down the stretch here, he's going to be such a vital part to our team.
You mentioned last week, so Coach Dawson, short yardage would be important in this game. I think you only lost 1 yard in the entire game, but short yardage was a key factor in this game, right?
It was. We were 3 for 5. That's not good enough by our standards. One was a critical fourth down in the red zone, and the other one was a 3rd and 1 where we ended up losing yardage, and we ended up kicking a field goal that we had a chance to sustain a drive there. So in the red zone, we were 1 of 4 from a touchdown perspective. We had been really good in the red zone. We were, you know, near the tops of the country and the conference in a red zone offense, both scoring and touchdown ratio, and we were not up to the standard on Saturday.
Coach, JoJo Trader started off hot and had a bobble that led to an interception, which led to points, but explain how also players get the ball if they're open, and also through a play call. There's a process to who the open player is. The quarterback doesn't leave the huddle or the play call with an identity of where he's going to go.
Yeah, I think it's a great indication of what we see in practice. You know, there's guys like JoJo. Who else? There's a bunch of guys that played. You know, Dante Simpson, promising young players that do some really good things, like the catch early, right, the touchdown or whatnot. and then the bobble, you know, things that you still need to work on, right? Because you certainly can't score one and then give one back, okay? And you keep working through that, right? But those are things that get you excited and then things that keep you on high alert that you have to keep working on. And those guys played significant snaps. I think Dante played about 30. I think JoJo played almost 60 snaps. And in this offense, I think what you see, you know, they go and try to take away Malachi. They start pushing the coverage over there. You know, we had scored early on them, beat them in man coverage with JoJo. And then all of a sudden, Keelan's getting open for, you know, he had a good amount of plus 15-yard catches in the game. That's the way it goes. And that's the way you want to be on offense. You want to be able to have answers when they take away something. And that's what they were trying to do. And credit to them, you know, they're not going to let some of your better players beat you. Well, we have an excellent player in Keelan Marion, and certainly he ended up, you know, paying dividends with getting open and making some big catches.
Okay, more to come with Mario Cristobal, plus Shannon Dawson, Corey Heatherman, and hopefully Jay Lucas from last night as well. The Hurricanes are winner in basketball on Saturday, Miami and Syracuse, 11:30 pregame. 3:30, we'll kick it off at Hard Rock Stadium. Let me talk to you for a moment about one of my all-time favorite subjects and two of my all-time favorite peoples, Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol. Of course, we're talking about Williamson Cadillac, and they are more than a dealership. They are our friends. They're our neighbors. They're our family. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base. It's simple. They stay focused on one thing, the customer experience. Customers are always treated like family. So if you want to enjoy world-class customer service, when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac and new vehicles are arriving every day, like the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and of course, the electric Lyric. If you want to have world-class customer service, then the place to go is Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find, located on US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Before you go to Williamson Cadillac, go online. Check out all of the inventory on WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Then when you get there, you ask for Jermaine. He'll get you set up in the right vehicle, and you'll get through the entire process stress-free. Exactly what you want, stress-free. We got enough stress in this town. Enough stress. You want to make it nice and calm, and that's their goal. That's their aim at Williamson Cadillac. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM, presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Okay, it's Miami and Syracuse. 3:30 kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium as the Orange come to South Florida. They come in, they're struggling. Had some injury situations at quarterback. Played a true freshman the other day in their first couple of games. They were averaging 38 points a game. The quarterback went down. Since then, they're having a tough time scoring. Two touchdowns a game. How do you look at their situation?
They're very talented. They're very talented, and they're very well coached. They lost a great player in their quarterback, but they have found a way to manufacture points. They got a really good offensive line and downhill runners that can also get outside. Very talented football team, and we expect their best, and we're looking forward to playing our best.
Proof of it is that they beat Clemson at Clemson very early in the season in a hard-fought game, but they dominated that game.
They really did. They really did in every single phase. And, again, it shows they're very well coached. They have a lot of players that are going to play on Sundays as well. And they're, you know, it looks like they're really good players are also healthy, you know. So a lot to prepare for. Certainly, you know, schematically they present a lot of challenges, and we're looking forward to getting to Saturday and putting our best foot forward.
They have a 400-pound offensive line.
I thought it was a typo.
But that being said, behind the 400-pound offensive lineman, they have two running backs that seem to enjoy running inside and run really hard.
Yeah, they're big physical runners. They are contact plus 2 and 3 yards. They do not go down on first contact. And they do a good job just pushing piles, getting their feet in the ground and just rolling right, knee drive and everything else that goes with it. So physical football team with a lot of really good players.
Their wide receiver, Jonte Cook, the leading receiver, he does an excellent job in space and finds a way to get open every snap.
He does. He was one of the most highly recruited guys in the country, and rightfully so. Awesome young man, super explosive, really fast, can hurt you in a lot of different ways, can take a screen game to the house just like that. Is really good in the run game as well, puts his hat in there and moves people. And he just he blows by corners. He really does. He's got excellent speed, elite speed. And just makes the contested catch time and time again.
A year ago, I think their defense maybe was termed, they would defend you as the flavor of the week, whatever they thought they had to adjust to. Are they still with that kind of philosophy?
Well, they make it difficult to get a beat on. They do a lot. You know, they really do. They mix up the coverages. They give you different pictures. They make the quarterback make post-snap decisions while getting pressure in his face. And that's difficult, you know. So that's always a challenge with a team that can disguise coverages really, really well and that has enough guys that could play both zone and man coverage. So, and up front, they're big and physical. So great challenge for us.
It's led them to have the ability to have a lot of takeaways. Their corner, Davian Kerr's got 3 interceptions on the year, but that secondary's balks.
No doubt. And they're long. They're long, lean guys. They can get their hands on people. In contested catches, they can get up in there and use their hands and use their length to just defend and bat balls away. Very good technique, so they're coached really well. It's a team that, again, is on the cusp of a lot of really good things, and, again, we got to prepare to be at our very best on Saturday.
They've got a Hulk at linebacker. That's what they say. They call him the Hulk. DeLore got nicked up in the Carolina game, but he's a tough player, and then it seems like their pass rush, a lot of it comes off of pressure.
They do, and you know what they do? They've got great technique and fundamentals up front. They work edges. They're great with their hands. They're great on getting you off balance, going speed to power. They're great at just the simplicity of the club rip swim. And they provide a lot of pressure. They hit the quarterback a lot, you know, and I think it's a great challenge for our offensive line, for our running backs and our tight ends to provide a clean pocket. But they're going to be challenged on every single play because these guys can bring it.
Coach, the worst thing to do is for anybody to look at their record and yawn. 3-6 is, this is not a 3-6 football team. There's the reasons why they have that record.
Yeah, those records are out the window, man. It's conference play. I mean, in conference play, records don't mean a thing anymore. Every single week is a playoff game for everybody. And certainly that's the way that they and us are going to treat the game.
And the last thing on that would be special teams also. I mean, this kid Whitehouse, the punter, his dad was in the NFL, and he can change the field position on you in a hurry.
One of the best in the country. And certainly, you know, we've improved a ton in punt returns, so I'm sure they're going to be very aware and alert to, you know, schematically doing things to nullify, right, our punt return game and also their fake game, right? Yeah. The best way to not punt the ball, right, is to continue, you know, moving the sticks and sometimes throwing a couple fakes in there. So we have to be very aware because they're coming in the form of, you know, an onside kick, a surprise onside, a bloop, a dribble, something of that nature, and certainly in the punt game as well.
People like to make declarations on seasons, as Lee Corso would say, not so fast. You have four games left. I know you want 1-0, but I'll always say, if you finish with 10 wins, you're probably in the hunt for something. And so there are opportunities out there for you in this chaos of college football.
No doubt. And that's big picture reality. I think we all know that. You know that it's a four-game season and what that can lead to. And it all starts and ends with opportunity number one on Saturday. You know, that has to be the focus of everybody. Getting ahead and looking ahead is only going to cause you to trip upon what's in front of you. So we have a great opponent coming in. It's right around the corner. Day one of preparation was today. Got to have a great night of prep and a great day tomorrow.
And in reality, Coach, everything can be fixed in this building. Everything can be handled in this building. It's on the University of Miami.
We've done a lot of good things, and we're adaptable to get better at the things that we haven't done so well or things that maybe we took a step back in and have to get right again. But as you just said, the things that we have to fix, it's us. It's fixable by us, right? And so that prevents you from ever feeling helpless. Helpless is you don't have the ability to do so, don't have the people, the pieces or whatnot. Everything is us. I think our players are really, they're really eager to get to work in a business-like manner and approach this thing the right way. I think we all understand are the things that we can get better at and that there's a plan to do so. So it's all systems go, man. Everybody on deck.
Maybe I'm crazy, but you play behind a very good run game for the most part all year. Is one of the ways to slow down the penalties, you had chunk plays at the beginning of the season, sometimes big plays that end up in the end zone. That solves a lot of problems, right? Mm-hmm.
It sure does. I mean, they're related, right? Yeah. Your explosive plays in the passing game lead to more explosive plays in the run game because people have to play you a little bit different. We're efficient. Like, we've moved the sticks, especially, you know, this past game. I thought there was a lot of progress in that. We pushed the ball down the field better this past game as well. We didn't finish drives, and it's a matter of putting all that together. You know, you're always looking to be more explosive, and you're also not looking to create something that's not there, right? If teams are playing a certain coverage, the windows are on a certain spot of the field, you got to take advantage of them. And sometimes they're over the top of them, sometimes they're underneath them, sometimes it's intermediate. Everything we do is to try to exploit what the defense is giving you and to be the most explosive offense you could possibly be.
And you can be very frustrated in a loss, which I know you are, and the team as well, but you're not helpless. I mean, there's ways to get better, and fortunately, you have this weekend to do that.
Yeah, we're just a very real operation. We don't live in fantasy land. We don't BS ourselves. We don't. I mean, we approach everything just like our parents raised us and the way we expect our players to one day raise their kids with reality, with honesty, and with work. Get all the BS, all the trash, all the noise out the way. It's not part of being a football player. Being a football player is having grit, toughness, determination, and looking at yourself in the mirror and bringing your very best to the table. People that don't fit that got to get out of the way. That's the only way we do things. That's the way that Miami is going to continually work itself back to where we want to be as a program. And we've had a lot of progress. And brother, we're right back to work. Mouth shut. Eyes looking forward so that we can get the result that we want.
All right, Coach, very good. Thank you very much. Best of luck against Syracuse.
Always go, Kane.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Okay, welcome back to the show. The college football playoff rankings will be released, so we'll find out where the University of Miami stands with 4 games to go. And the top 12 make it. We'll see how much help they need during the course of the next month. Meanwhile, a lot of discussion about the Hurricanes offense, obviously, the penalties, the turnovers, just the offense not operating at a high level on Saturday against SMU, short yardage situations, all of that combined helped lead, partially responsible for Miami losing 26-20. Offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson covered all of those topics, starting with, of course, the self-inflicted wounds.
We had 9 penalties on offense and 5 drops, you know, and so that's hard to overcome. I mean, I never felt like we had a problem moving the ball. It was just shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we had no 3 and outs. We had it ball backed up quite a bit, and we got the ball out. But then when we would get it, like, in a certain area, you know, we'd have a drop that would be the difference between a, you know, 3rd and 2 and a 3rd and 10. That's a big difference, you know. Then we would, you know, have a penalty. And so it's hard to overcome those things all the time. You can overcome a few of them, but it's hard to overcome them. So the theme that I'm trying to tell you guys is we have to quit shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, we got to play a little bit more relaxed and just loosen up and just quit shooting ourselves in the foot, because it has nothing to do with anything else. I mean, honestly, it's hard to say this out loud, but I wasn't displeased with a lot in the game. I was displeased with the self-inflicted stuff. You know what I mean?
With that self-inflicted stuff, like the slippery steps and all this stuff, 8, you know, with only a month of the season, how do you get in there and like address that? Do you simulate it more? Do you work on
it? We simulated it a ton. You know, I mean, I think at some point, we have very accountable kids and we have very accountable coaches. I mean, nobody's shying away from accountability. I know I got to do my job better. You know, I know if I do my job better, we win the game. Like, I have no issue bearing the burden of that. you know, when you have people in the room and you have people in the organization that have the care factor that we have, you don't have to harp on it as much as you think. They know. We know. And so ultimately, at some point, too, if you push it past a certain line, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so, and that's where I don't want to go with it. I don't want to make it a bigger deal than what it is. I mean, there's probably, and you can do the stats, Gary, you love stats. Huh? So there's more false starts, pre-snap penalties this year in college football than I've seen across the board. There just is. I watch college football when I get home, and it just seems like, you know, there's just a abundance of pre-snap penalties. Now, we're having our fair share of them, and we got to correct that, and we got to get that course corrected. And we are addressing it with multiple issues, and I'm not going to sit here and lay that out because that's just not appropriate for the game. But there will be changes that are made, and I think that will reflect, you know, some positives. But we have to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. And one thing about the – just not to cut you off, but – the false starts, we overcame every one of them. Every false start, we ended up getting first downs and moving the ball. There were other things we didn't overcome. And it really, as aesthetically unpleasing as that looks, it didn't cost us the way I view the game. Like, when I watch the game, I watch things that cost us. You know, although I hate it and we got to get it fixed, I get it, it didn't necessarily stop drives. Other things did.
All right, what are those other things? Sorry. If you get elaborate, what are the other things?
The drop balls stopped more drives than the false starts. You know, the drop balls we had to punt every time. You know, every single drop ball cost us a punt. You know, and the holding penalties cost more than the false start penalties.
Mario told us that CJ is going to be a couple of
years. Yeah.
And he indicated that Mark, we don't know,
he yeah.
Be optimistic. When you're potentially going to be down, you're starting running back. Okay. I mean, I know other guys have to step up.
Yep.
CJ, but how much does that affect your shoot in that there is a difference between the one and two?
It is.
Sometimes. How does that change your approach when you move?
It will. I mean, you always look at who's available, you know, but you have to lay out a plan based on, you know, the people that are available and the defense you're playing. Like, schematically, the defense matters a lot because what they have – what they've done in the past, you have to pattern what you do after that. You can't run nonsense plays over certain coverages that they run or whatever. So that matters. The people available matter. But I will say this. I have confidence in those people in that room. Now, whether they've played a lot of snaps or not, it's no different than JoJo. I mean, JoJo goes in there Saturday and really makes some really great plays for us. You know, he had some unfortunate things happen, which we all do. I mean, look, there are some calls I want back, too. I've never called a perfect game, and I never will. And if people are expecting that, then I don't know what to tell them. And so there's going to be plays that I want back, you know, and there's going to be plays that players want back. There's plays that Carson wants back. Ultimately, you hope that those plays don't cost you the game. And so, but I do have a high amount of trust in people that are in backup roles right now, and I'm excited to watch some of those guys play. I really am.
You probably know that you had a bit of a viral moment Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're not thinking about what the heck people are going to say about it 2 days later, but when you are not in the booth, when you're out in the field especially, when people have more of a line of sight on you, does it ever enter into a coach's mindset of just you can't sometimes react the way you want to? And again, people can look at that and immediately
draw
the wrong conclusion.
Well, I'm going to lay it out pretty simple. I pride myself on staying even keel through the hardest times. I wasn't like that as a young coach. I'll be, you know, very blunt with saying that, you know, I was a lot more animated 20 years ago, 25 years ago than I am today. Over time, you realize that bringing more stress to an already stressful situation isn't necessarily the best approach, you know. And I've dealt with that through my career, and now at this point in my career, regardless of how bad things are going, you're probably going to see the same type demeanor from me. Now, in that particular situation, it had nothing to do with the crazy thing about that. Our interaction, me and Coach Cristobal, it had nothing to do with that. I was talking into the headset, very upset about not getting a yard. That was simply that. I was like, we need to get the damn yard. You know, and we both agree. That's why I promise you this. There's two things. One is I was raised right by parents, and I would never disrespect authority. Never. You know, I serve a higher authority that I understand hierarchy of authority. I would never disrespect authority behind closed doors or even out in the public. With that being said, if I ever did something like that, you probably would see a reaction from him. The reason he didn't react, because it wasn't directed to him. It was directed towards frustration about not getting a yard. And so that's the clear part of it, is like, I would never disrespect authority.
To be fair, I think those of us that have gotten to know you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Pretty good idea of what was happening.
Yeah. I mean, and people can come up with whatever narrative they want. I'm fine with that, too. I mean, I don't really get, I haven't looked at Twitter. So I have friends that have texted me, and I was like, yeah, I said, look, I said, this is what happened. You know what I mean? But I don't typically pay too much attention to the Twitter warriors out there that know everything. You know?
Short yard, I think you guys were three of six.
Yeah. I think we didn't get two, right? Or was it three?
I don't know.
Okay.
But what is a acceptable?
100%. You know, when it's 1 yard, it needs to be 100%. Now, they're good at short yardage. I knew that going into the game. They were oddly good at short yardage. And so they were at about a 50-something percent clip at short yardage, right? And so I knew that their defense was good at short yardage. So I did have a couple wrinkles that I was going to go to if I felt like we were having real trouble. But through the course of the game at the beginning, we were getting them. You know, we snuck one. We went, like, there was about the three or four that happened first, we got. And in the fourth quarter, that particular one down there going into the opposite end zone, there was a timeout call. And so I had a certain play called. I probably overthought it, to be honest with you. And this is just facts. I trust our big guys up front. You know, I really do. And I trust them to get a yard. I trust our running backs to get a yard. And statistically speaking, you know, everybody's skewed on short yardage to run the ball. Like, you can look at everybody's short yardage. I mean, you're going to throw it a couple times, but you're probably going to run it more than any, right? And so there's always plays I go back and, like, man, I wish I would have done that there, when they don't work. Does that make sense? Like, and I go back to the Georgia Tech game last year, and we ran spider, and they covered it on 4th and 1, and if I would have just ran the damn ball right there, we'd probably win the game. And so it's always easy after you know what happened. And the reality is, everybody out there that has a certain opinion is allowed to have that opinion after the fact. I'm not. I have to make the decision within seconds and live with the results. And so ultimately, I made the decision based on how I felt this team is made up, and I think we're elite up front. Elite. And I'm going to lean on those guys in those situations, and I think they respect that. And so, was it the right or wrong call? Obviously, it was the wrong call because it didn't work. That specific play, we ran 4 times that day, and I think it got 10 yards every time, and it got none that time, to put it in the framework for you.
Okay, that's Shannon Dawson reviewing what happened against SMU. On the other side of the ball, Hurricanes defense played pretty well for most of the day, but then at the end of the game, lots of things started to pop up, and here is Corey Heatherman.
You know, kind of thought they'd start with a run or quick game or something to get the drive going there right before the 2-minute warning. You know, they threw up the shot. Good throw. Kid makes a 1-on-1 play. After that, I thought we really settled down. We got them at third and I think it was a 3rd and 19. You know, they hit the check down. I thought we got to clean up our depth a little bit. I thought our direction delivery underneath, we got to be a little bit faster to contain that, you know, more 4th and off track, and then we get the penalty. And I don't know. You know, we're in a situation to win the game there, and, you know, then, you know, gets them into field goal range. You know, I still think it's going to be a long field goal. You know, the quarterback scrambles out, gets it to be about a 50-yarder. And then the last play, you know, they complete the pass and makes it a little bit more manageable, and they hit the field goal there. But situation, we got to get off the field. We got to win the 1-on-1. You know, I think, you know, I've gone through what coverages, what else to call there, what to be in. You know, it's going to be a 1-on-1 in almost everything you call right there. And, you know, I thought one thing, that stood out going back and watching other games. I mean, they made some of those one-on-one plays. And they hadn't made maybe some of those plays in the past couple weeks or past couple games. And, you know, they won a couple more one-on-ones this week. And, you know, we just could get back down to the fundamentals and the techniques and make those stops in those situations.
Anything overtime, obviously trying to force the field goal at least?
Yeah, I think we knew they were going to run the football. We didn't think they were going to throw the football. You know, the first one, you know, they went quarterback run. We got to get the extra hat in. You know, I thought there, you know, we put the help on the other side of the defense, and it's a tough play. They take the Will linebacker out. They run the, you know, the lead block with the tailback, and, you know, we're nervous about getting a wheel again in that situation. And, linebacker goes to carry that. We got to get the safety down the fit, and, you know, I thought it was a good call by them. After that, you know, we got to knock the line of scrimmage back. I think they had negative rushing yards in, you know, the first 60 minutes, and then ran for 25 yards in overtime, and we can't let that happen. And we got to respond in those situations, and we got to finish the game better there.
They seem to do a real good job of putting a lot of stress on the defense and the secondary. They threw the ball like 90% of the time. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's pretty close to that probably.
Yeah.
And they were throwing it. And it seemed at times there was a little confusion in the back. Was that a result of just how much they were throwing at you guys? I mean, you probably couldn't possibly prepare for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the two halves were very different. I think the first half they stuck to what they did, and you know, going back through and watching, you know, no matter what game it was, the first half, I think, you know, was very similar to what they had shown tendency wise and, you know, I thought, you know, they try to run the ball, they try to get on track, or they go quick game, or, you know, they had a couple shots they threw at us out of unbalanced formations, and, you know, I thought they did a couple of good things scheme wise in the first half, and I thought our guys responded really well. They hit the wheel early. You know, we peak in the backfield, and they went unbalanced and ran a double move, and our guys responded. We got a three and out after that play. You know, we responded and got a, you know, forced them the punt. And I thought our guys responded really well to some of the junk or some of the different pitchers that they maybe hadn't shown on film. And we got off in those situations. And then second half, I feel like, you know, really probably after right away, I feel like they kind of abandoned the run and just went to, you know, trying to figure out what our coverage was going to be, take access throws if they were there. If they weren't there, they were going to throw up some one-on-ones and throw up some shots. And you know, I thought they won some of those situations. And it's one of those things, our guys made a lot of really good plays. I mean, there were some challenge balls on linebackers, on safeties, on the nickel, where our guys won a lot of plays, and there were a couple that they won. You know, those are plays that, you know, I think we wish we had back right now, but you know, I think it was the most he's thrown the ball since the conference championship game the year before. I think he threw it 50 times in that game. I think he threw it 45 times in our game. You know, Jennings made throws in this game. I don't think he threw it maybe the same way a couple of the other games. I thought he was on point, and their guys made some good contested catches. I mean, there's a couple throws that they come down with where our guys are playing through the hands. They're right there and step with them. And there's a couple times our guys are breaking, and before they hit the ground, our guys are driving through them and trying to punch the ball out. And they made a couple big plays. And, you know, those are the situations we just got to respond. And then, you know, we got to, you know, I thought when they got the tempo going, we got to do a better job of, you know, settling down and just, you know, playing within the defense. I thought a couple times he pushed the pocket and scrambled, and we got to fit within our scramble rules a little bit more.
Okay, that's Corey Heatherman. I said probably 3 weeks ago, I felt that Jennings was going to be the most dynamic player that Miami would play the rest of the season. Trevor will verify that. He's nodding his head, yes. Now, maybe that changes with the kid from Pittsburgh, who is getting better all the time. But Jennings, for the last 2 years, has been great. And I felt back around the Louisville game, looking ahead at the schedule, that if there was someone that's going to knock Miami out, it was going to be Jennings. And he made a lot of plays on Saturday. All right, well, we move on to basketball. Last night, Jay Lucas debuted. Hurricanes win 86-69. They go to the free throw line 37 times, and Coach Lucas gets his first win as head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. Game one, first career win as head coach. So first of all, that's a collector's item right there, Coach. Your first win as a head coach. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
What did you move over a chair tonight? So what was that experience like? Let's just start there.
Well, it was good, you know, until they threw a curveball and played 1-3-1, which they haven't done in 3 years. But we adjusted. Guys did a good job of adjusting to what was needed, and I thought we came out of halftime with the right mentality, and it changed the game for us.
You went to the free throw line 37 times tonight.
Yep.
I don't know if I can remember Miami going to the free throw line 37 times. Let's talk a little bit about how important that was to get to the line and maybe how important it's going to be for you this year.
It's going to be huge. You know, the way we're built, the way our team is built with our size, our athleticism, our physicality is something that we really preach about is making more than they attempt. And we were able to do that tonight, and we shot a really good percentage today too, which was really impressive. We've been trying to keep it around 70 or over 70. We can't.
Coach, the physical nature of your team tonight, I mean, you just bullied them around, especially on the offensive end. Just talk a little bit, if you can, about just the physicality, and not only, you know, on the offensive end, but rebounding as well. You guys dominated on the boards. That just seems to be the makeup of this team, the identity of this team, right?
It is, and we were bad tonight, to be honest with you. This wasn't even like our – this was like a D game for us with how we're practicing, how we're being. So I'm trying to be as positive as possible because of the win, but I know how much we have in us. But also I got to realize it was a first game, and things that come with a first game happen today.
It is funny how all of a sudden when the lights are on, new team and everything, things kind of change a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Things change. You know, the speed and the pace of the game is different. When it's a real game, you know, they look a little bit faster in person than they do on film. What I was telling the guys, like, they're here to try to win too. So we got to raise our level. But we did a good job adjusting. We did a good job adjusting. You know, I think the biggest thing and difference in the game was the zone, and it kept them in there for a while.
Ernest had 14 points, 14 rebounds. That's a nice debut.
Yeah, it is. And I've known Ernest for a while and recruited him when I was at Duke, but also been watching him ever since then. And this is what he's capable of. He's capable of rebounding and having double-double nights, but also, and he didn't get really short tonight the way the game was going, but he can be really good on the defensive end too.
You know, you mentioned adjusting, though. They came out and swung a hot bat from three, right?
Yeah.
And I think they made four in the first 4 minutes, but then – went a long stretch of the game where they were hitless.
Yeah, you know, it was a big thing was just knowing that Wood and Sterk and some of the guys they have can really shoot. Mm-hmm. And we knew that coming in, and they got some open looks. And once that first one go in, they're kind of hot. But I think the guys after the first 4 minutes didn't look and feel as rattled, and then we were able to adjust and play close to what our defense should look like.
Okay, that's Jay Lucas. Hurricanes win last night, 86-69. Thursday, we'll have the game for you on AM 560. So we'll be on AM on Thursday, 7 o'clock tip-off. So we'll be on the air at 6:30 p.m. Then Saturday, back at it with football, 11:30 broadcast time, 3:30 kickoff. So put it on your calendars. Thursday night, Miami and Bethune at the Watsco Center. We'll be on there at 6:30 on AM 560. Then Saturday, back on the FM, beginning at 11 a.m. with our cast of characters. Right, so that gets you going. Then on Monday, we've got real curveball. Stetson in town for basketball. That's going to be on Waxy 790. That's, and then next Tuesday, back with the hotline here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Okay, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Appreciate everybody joining us. For our producer, Trevor Harris, I'm Joe Zagacki. Have a very pleasant good evening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.